Right, it's the 24th of October 2012, and my name's Ollie Taylor, and I'm here at Gloucestershire Archives with Sarah Marks and Graham Johnson, who's a former Fielding and Platt employee. And Graham's just going to talk to us about his memories of working for Fieldings in the early 1960s. So to start with, Graham, can I just ask you to introduce yourself, say when you were born, when you worked at Fieldings, and what you did for Fieldings, please?
Hello, yes, it's Graham Johnson. I was born in 1937, and I worked in Fieldings for about 9 months in around about 1962. My job there was working with three other men working on building maintenance, and our job was to do the minor building maintenance throughout the factory.
That's great. Thank you, Graham. And it's fascinating to talk to you as well, because you're the first person to come forward from that maintenance department. So I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about. Can I start by asking how it was that you came to work at Fielding and Platt's?
Well, as with all building work, I apprenticed as a decorator originally. But as with all working in the building trade, you went from job to job depending on what was available. My father actually worked in Fieldings for several years before I went there. And in fact, I heard about the job or the vacancy for a building maintenance assistant there. And I applied and I went there and worked for about 9 months it was.
Do you remember anything about the sort of interview process? Do you remember who interviewed you and what the interview was like?
I can't remember any of that at all, in actual fact. That is complete blank.
What's your earliest memory then of working at Fieldings, the first thing that you remember?
We had a little shed near the entrance of Fieldings, on the main entrance into the factory, and I remember meeting the three other gentlemen. One was a young West Indian fellow, Ron his name was, a lively character and a lot of fun working with him and the other two people. One of the other men was in fact a fully qualified bricklayer, and I was, I think, the only other qualified person as far as building trade.
So you met these people for the first time, and presumably you saw the scale of the machinery at Fieldings for the first time when you started working there. Can you remember how you felt when you first saw these massive machines?
I had been in factories before, but certainly in Fieldings and certainly in the heavy machine shop, there was some really massive piece of equipment in there. And in actual fact, my father worked on one of the largest planers in the heavy machine shop. I'm not sure, I had a feeling it might have been German, but it was one of the very largest planers there. And it was not unusual to have a job on the bed, and for that to be on the bed working there for 2 or 3 days.
Wow. And so you started with these guys, and you started doing the maintenance of the buildings. Can you just describe for us the kinds of jobs that you would be doing at Fieldings?
Yeah, very often it would be decoration in the offices or a little bit of repair work, shall we say, with any woodwork, anything like that. A little bit of concrete in here and there. And general building maintenance in a small way for the factory itself, just to keep the factory up to speed.
And when you weren't doing these jobs around the factory, you would be based in this hut that you described...
We had work every day. I mean, we were literally always work available, but we would retreat to the little hut on the entrance there for our lunch and at the end of the day. But yes, we were fully employed while we were working there.
And what was that little hut like? No one's talked about that before. What were the facilities like there?
It was just purely a small hut, just big enough for four or five of us, with a couple of seats in there, and that was about it, I think.
So no tea and coffee facilities or anything like that?
Not as such, although I think they were able to brew a cup of tea occasionally.
But you said you were busy most of the time. What time would you have started work then of a day?
If I remember right, I think it was an 8 o'clock start and finishing, I think it was 5 o'clock. A little bit vague on the time there, but it was the normal working time in respect to that.
And when you had jobs, would you have worked together on certain jobs, or would you have tended to go off and specialise in the areas that you were doing? So say you would do decorating and another guy would do the sort of bricklaying type thing.
Yeah, we tended to work as a team all the time. There were occasions when, with a small office to decorate, one of the other gentlemen came and worked with me in the office. But generally, we worked as a team working through the factory.
And say with the offices, what was the atmosphere like in the offices that you decorated? Because you must have seen them from a sort of outsider's perspective. Can you just describe, say, one of the offices that you decorated and what it was like inside?
I can't remember that too well. To me, it was just a normal factory office, and a lot of them were quite small, so it was a question that if an office needed to be tidied up, then it would be vacated for us to work in there, obviously.
So you wouldn't have ever really talked to or had a chat with the people that were actually working in these offices?
No, not in the office itself. I mean, we would meet people in the factory and be talking with them, but generally in the office, they would be obviously doing their work. Even in the drawing office, I did go in on one occasion, but I couldn't even remember what it was really like.
You remembered one specific job that you were talking to us about, which was when you replaced some concrete gantries at Fieldings. Could you just tell us about that story and what happened then? When was that, when you were there?
We were told that on the Monday morning we would be taking up the gangway in the main heavy machine shop, which was the first gangway running down the side between the main entrance and the main factory, the main heavy machine shop itself. Between that gangway and the main entrance in the building, in the same building, was a turbine house which took all the power through into the heavy machine shop. We were going to be taking up that gangway, and it was arranged that Ready Mix, I think it was, were coming down with the cement to put in at a certain time. And so it was quite a tight schedule. Now, we had to rip these gangways up, and I was the first person to be using the pneumatic drill to actually tear the gangway up. And this was alongside the turbine house. They came down from the drawing office and with one of the firm managers, and they said that there is a main power line running from the turbine house into the heavy machine shop. This was apparently located about 8 foot the other side of the turbine house door, which came out into the main shop. I was working probably about 12 or 15 foot on the other opposite side of the door, well away, must have been from the original plan, something like about 20 foot away from where it was supposed to be. I'm ripping up the concrete with this pneumatic drill, and in actual fact, of course, those machines in those days were quite heavy. They were over 100 weight in weight. And while I was working on that, I suddenly felt the drill disappear into the ground. And I quickly snatched it and pulled it out and reported that I'd obviously hit something. They came down and they had a look and they realised that I'd gone through a clay earthen pipe. And when they looked further, they found that this was the main cable running into the heavy machine shop. Everything unleashed then. They came from the drawing office, top managers came down, there was a big alert, and in actual fact, they opened it up even more, and there was the cable running along the bottom of this earthenware pipe. They asked me to take the bit off the drill, because when I pulled the drill back, there was a punch mark, and when they placed the drill in position where that had gone through that pipe, it had actually gone right down the side of this massive cable running into the heavy machine shop. And it was considered I had a very, very lucky escape.
And so the drawings must have been wrong. What happened then?
Well, of course, as I say, it unleashed everybody, and they came down, the drawing office came down and conferred with their plans and said, no, these plans are wrong. And so they immediately started measuring up and making efforts to redraw the plans so they're correct. But the first thing that happened was then it was organised that a sheet of steel would be rolled to become a half-round plate of steel to go over the top of this pipe so in fact it didn't happen again. But I must admit, it did set a few alarm bells ringing through the factory, and I think it would have been an alarm bell had I hit it.
And when we were talking earlier, you said that your dad made a distinction between disasters and modifications. Would this have been considered a modification for the drawing office?
Well, yes, because Dad always maintained that if they made a mistake in the factory when working on the machines equipment in the factory, it was always a disaster or a mistake. But in the drawing office, if they make a mistake in the drawings, it's not a mistake. It's an adaptation of the plans, a modification, I should say.
So they got the steel and they got the concrete to fix this modification or disaster, however you want to see it. And then you went home, but your dad had heard of this story.
Yes, well, the Dad used to work nights there, and of course I went home at the end of the day. And the next morning I went round to see, or the next day, in the afternoon, before Dad went off to work. And he told me that he'd heard that I'd tried to blow the factory up and wanted to know exactly what had happened. He said, but as soon as he went in, they said, "Your son's been trying to blow us to pieces."
Did you get a good bit of banter from the people that saw you around on the shop floor as well as your dad?
Yeah, at the time there were a few white faces around, I can assure you, but after that there was the general banter about it. And years later I made reference to this to the lady who was a overhead crane driver there. And in fact, she remembered the incident very well indeed.
What do you think would have happened if you hadn't checked that? The drill bit.
The drill would have actually gone through the bottom of the clay pipe. It would have actually gone down the side of the cable. Fortunately, it did go down the side of the cable. It didn't go into the top of the cable. There was no marks on it to say that I had actually hit the top of the cable, but certainly it had gone right down the side of it, and it would have just carried on into the ground underneath.
Thinking about... You said that sometimes you had a chat with the people around the factory, and your dad was obviously really well connected as well. Do you remember the sort of atmosphere of the works rather than the offices, the kind of things that were said, the kind of people that you remember from being there and working at Fieldings?
Yes, there was always a very good banter, a good relationship with all of them there, and there was always a laugh and a joke, and I know that Dad, on occasions, having such a long job on his planer, would sometimes start resting his eyes, as he would say. And they'd come up and say, "Fred, you asleep?" And he'd say, "No, I'm just resting my eyes." But I can assure you that if there was a slight change in sound on the machine, he was there beside it before anything happened.
Tell us about your dad, and you said also your uncle worked at Fieldings as well. What did they do?
My uncle worked there. He worked there in the finance department. It was Charles Metcalf, his name was, and he worked in the finance department there for many years. And it was my uncle Charles who actually told Dad about the vacancy, and Dad applied, and we moved from Oxford to Gloucester for Dad to take the job at Fieldings. I was trying to remember when he'd actually moved there, and I think it was round about the mid-50s, and then later he then moved back to Oldham, and those dates are a little bit unsure at the moment, but I've got a feeling they would have been in the 70s when he actually left and went back to Oldham.
So your uncle worked in the finance department. Do you ever remember him talking about the type of work that he did there, or what that finance department was like?
No, that was totally unheard of. You know, you wouldn't discuss anything about work. In fact, he was the type of guy who was very, if you like, protective with his own personal life, unless you really knew him, you know, type of thing. But he would never discuss work at all, you know, type of thing.
And your dad, he worked in the heavy machine shop. That would be right.
Sorry, yes, he worked in the heavy machine shop, and as I say, it was the largest planer in the shop. I had a feeling that that planer was German-made, but he said it was a fantastic machine and one of the biggest planers he'd ever worked on.
And was he happy at work?
Very much so. He always liked working nights, always had worked nights. Even in Oxford, he'd work nights. But this was the first time he'd ever been paid his worth, because having been the oldest son of a family of eight, he had to be the breadwinner because his father, with cotton mill disease, was too ill to work. And so Dad was never able to get an apprenticeship. So Dad actually qualified in night school, and he got full qualifications. But because of those qualifications, he was never paid the proper rate. He was always paid a labourer's rate. And it was only when he moved to Fieldings that in actual fact he got the rate that he deserved. And both in Fieldings and in his previous job, although he was only a labourer in the previous job, he was actually training apprentices. And they felt it was so wrong that he was considered to be a craftsman, but they wouldn't pay him for it. And Fieldings were the first people to really give him a proper wage for what he was really worth.
Do you remember how much he was paid at Fieldings?
I have no idea at all. That was something that, obviously, within the family, I had no idea at all.
Yeah. Do you remember how much Fieldings paid you?
I think at that time, the going wage generally, if you like, the market wage, was probably around about £10 or £12 a week. What Fieldings paid, I can't remember. But if you looked at the average wage at that time, then I think the average wage was around about £10 or £12 a week.
And Fieldings were regarded as good employers. They were good at sort of paying you the rate that you deserved, as you say, with your dad. And did they provide any other sort of benefits of working for them?
I'm not sure about the pension benefits. I think they did pay a pension benefit. I'm not sure about that. As I say, I wasn't there long enough for that to materialise. But they were very, very good at paying, and they were very, very fair. And also, of course, their apprentices were well known throughout the country, that if you got an apprenticeship at Fieldings, you were set up for life. They had a very, very good apprenticeship school.
Did you ever have occasion to go to the apprentice school? Did you ever do any maintenance in the craft school then?
Not that I remember. I don't think so. Not that I remember, no.
So it's mainly the offices and doing work in the works itself as well.
Yes. We'd do some work on some of the steelwork and that in from the point of view of painting in the actual factories. We might come in on a Saturday, this type of thing, to do extra work. But generally it was Monday to Friday, although the factory was working Saturday morning as well, and I'm not sure whether we didn't work Saturday morning. I think we might have done.